Oye, oye, oye.
Do you wonder what voir dire is? What is involved in the process of arraignment? And who was that Marbury fellow anyway? Welcome to Speaking Plainly, Breaking Down the Law, a collaborative series that will break down questions about the law into everyday language. Now, here are your hosts, criminal justice professor Dr. Christine Artello and public affairs librarian Nia Rogers.
Hi, Dr. Artello.
Hi, Nia.
Okay, so now Skippy's in jail. He's being held without bond, right? So they've decided he's guilty and we're moving on to a trial, right? Like they do on TV. Zip, zip, zip.
No.
No?
No. No. No, 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 no.
So you're telling me to slow down a little there.
I'm telling you we have to move back to reality.
Okay.
I'm really sorry.
But
out
CSI,
of the TV.
I have to let go of CSI because I'm telling you, there's some really beautiful people who work on CSI.
And that's wonderful.
And Law and Order. Dump, dump.
And this is what fantasy is all about. However, I will say with Law and Order, I'm a huge Law and Order fan. And there are many ways where Law and Order does a very good job on process. Because while it's solved within 50 minutes, it goes over a month or 2 months in what they're doing in the process, especially if you look at the older ones.
They're always like 4 months later.
Exactly.
6 months later, which is nice because they're actually
realistic. But let's get back to Skippy.
Okay. So we left him and he's in jail. And so what goes on with him now?
So before we dive into the next steps, I really want to make sure that we have every step clear from this point forward. Skippy is going to have the right to counsel for every following step.
Okay, wait. I thought you got an attorney from Miranda. And like, if you're new to the podcast series, we did a little piece on Miranda, which you'll be able to find here when you dig around a little bit. But don't you have counsel from Miranda?
Yes. In Miranda, it only requires custody and interrogation. But understand that if they haven't interrogated you within a custodial situation, you're not going to have the right to an attorney during a lineup before formal charges. Remember that Miranda had the lineup before the formal charges and no attorney was present? Again, go back to the Miranda podcast. We talk all about that. The court did not find your right to counsel attached then. Only when they questioned you while he was in custody did the attorney do. So, and in this case, in Skippy, he was not in custody at the time they were interrogating him. It was not until they arrested him after they finished talking to him at the campsite that they arrested him. So then he went to his first appearance. That is when counsel attached, as the court likes to say.
Attached?
It means that no further proceedings can happen without your attorney present.
Okay, so they hadn't done a lineup because they had taken Skippy from the park and he had gone to the jail. And so if they did have a lineup now after his first appearance, his attorney would have to be there.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do you get charged then?
That is a great question. And the answer depends on where you are and who is charging you with a crime. Now, remember, Skippy is in federal court, and the federal court process is called the grand jury. But before we get into that, I would like to pretend here that Skippy's in state court, and we're going to go through the state system because it's kind of confusing, and we're just going to set it out here in this one. And how they do that at the state system, state or a local jurisdiction, the prosecutor can file what is called an information charging the crime, so that's how they do that at the local level.
Okay, wait. It's called an information? It's called an information? That's a stupid name. I'm going to information you. That's like, anyway. Can anybody make an information? Can I write a criminal information against Skippy?
Not quite. Prosecutors or a district attorney are going to write the formal charges into the information that is reviewed by a judge at the preliminary hearing.
Okay, so an information is a list of charges.
Yes, supported by an affidavit, usually by the police officer.
Okay. Mm. And And are we now back to the federal level for a preliminary hearing, or is that at both levels?
That is going to be at the state level, more than likely.
So what's a preliminary hearing?
So a preliminary hearing provides a public venue for the government to showcase their preliminary case against the accused. Defense can challenge the prosecution case, and a judge or a magistrate will preside over these proceedings.
That sounds like a trial. How is it that we haven't skipped a trial? I said we just skip right to trial, and you said no, no, no. But that sounds like a trial.
It might sound like it. It might sound like that is, but there are key differences. A preliminary hearing, the state may present evidence that would not necessarily be allowed at trial because the rules of evidence are relaxed in the preliminary hearing. And in some states, they will even allow evidence from illegal searches.
Oh, now, why would they do that?
They allow this because the defense still has an opportunity later to suppress the information when it really counts. These hearings are merely to determine whether the government has sufficient evidence to bind over a defendant for trial.
Bind over. Oh, that's probably not nearly as fun and salacious as it sounds, is it?
No, it is not. The bind over standard is when the judge determines that the prosecution has sufficient evidence to go to trial. This is to prevent defendants from languishing in jail because they can't afford bail and they're just waiting for things to proceed. And maybe prosecutors used to not charge people timely. So this was the court's way of saying, no, 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 you can't do this. You need to come to us and say, you know what? We want to keep this guy in jail. We want to move forward with these charges. And there's sufficient evidence to do that.
So would you do that to a person to maybe soften them up so they might say, I want out of jail, or I'm really unhappy being in jail? Or did they just do it because they didn't have time, because they had so many people they were trying to prosecute? Or is it a mixture?
It's probably a mixture. They may have been using that to try and soften them up to turn on someone else. But still, it's not a proper use of the justice system. And that's what the judges said.
Okay. Yeah, your tactics suck.
Yes.
Go back and do them over. Okay. All right. So didn't we talk about probable cause standard before?
So, yes, the bind over standard is the basis for is probable cause. And you're right. We've talked about it in the Miranda podcast and the one on arrest that we did. But this is a different standard of probable cause.
Oh, of course it is. This probable cause is different from one of these probable causes is not like the others.
That is right.
Okay.
The court says that this standard requires more evidence because you are increasing the amount of intrusion into someone's life. So the greater the intrusion, the more evidence that's needed for the probable cause.
Oh, well, that's not confusing at all. Okay. So how much more evidence do you need? How much more evidence is necessary?
Well, this, again, depends on where you're at. But there are three different standards the courts use. The majority of courts use probable cause. But a minority of states use either what's called the prima facie case or prima facie case rule or the directed verdict rule.
Okay, so we have three standards. Can
yes.
we go through them one at a time? Because you know, I need you to slow down a little. All right. So what's the first one?
So the first one is the new probable cause standard. And the probable cause standard becomes whether or not it is fairly probable that based on the evidence presented during the preliminary hearing, the government will be likely to convict the defendant at trial. So the issue shifts from the probability of having committed the crime to the likelihood to be convicted at trial. So do you see where that shift happens?
Okay, so I can be pretty sure you did it, but if I don't have enough evidence that a jury would be pretty sure you did it, then that would be the difference in those two things, right? Like I have a feeling that mm-hmm. something happened, or I'm pretty sure, mm-hmm. or my gut instinct, right? Like a lot of good agents and cops have, because they've been around so long, they're like, oh, man, that guy did it.
Yes.
But they may not be able to prove that guy did it, or they may not be able to get a jury to believe that guy did it.
Exactly.
Okay. So how does that differ from the other two?
So the prima facie case rule, this states that the judge will bind over a defendant for trial when the prosecution presents evidence sufficient that should the defendant fail to do anything as a defense, they're going to be found guilty.
So they just sit there like a pet rock?
Yes. So if there's no rebuttal from the defense, did the prosecution show you enough that a jury would be likely to find them guilty?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So there, it is possible that they wouldn't show you enough.
Yes.
Even if the defense didn't do anything. Okay.
So they would have to show evidence that each element of the crime occurred.
Oh, okay. So we have a murder, we think, but we have no body and we have no blood and we have no evidence.
That's going to be a little hard to prove.
Okay, well, I'm just going to sit here and let you try to prove that. And then, yeah. I see. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So how's that separate from the last one?
So under the directed verdict rule, the judge examines the evidence presented to see if there's sufficient believable evidence to send it to the jury. If not, the judge would dismiss the case.
Oh, I know I'm going to regret asking this question, but what is enough sufficient? What does sufficient believable evidence mean? Believable to who?
Yes, the courts generally hold that the minimum amount necessary is more than enough for an arrest warrant, but less than enough to prove the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's somewhere between. Beyond a reasonable doubt is our highest level of evidence required. Probable cause is much less. So it's somewhere between the two. Probable cause for an arrest, and then now we're going to a higher one, but it's not as high as beyond a reasonable doubt.
Okay. So mm-hmm. Why do we do this? It sounds like we're doing all of this, we're doing all the work more than once here.
So do you remember when I was talking about prosecutors who were delaying bringing charges? And it used to be many states would use grand juries. So the judiciary wanted to make sure that people were not languishing in jail without any formal charges or any real review, substantial reviews of their cases. So preliminary hearings allow states to present just enough evidence to meet the bindover standard. So they are not presenting the whole case, probably because that would be time consuming and you don't want to show all of your cards on the state's theory of the case. And the defense generally doesn't have to present any evidence, but will cross-examine witnesses. So preliminary hearings stress the adversarial process, open hearings, open to the public, and review by an impartial party to be fairer to the defendants.
Okay, so if we didn't use preliminary hearings, what else would we use?
So in the federal system, they use the grand jury, and you would be charged through a grand jury indictment, which is going to be where we talk about next.
Okay, so we have a little bit of a cliffhanger. All right. Well, we'll see you at grand jury then.
This was Speaking Plainly, Breaking Down the Law. The discussion here is purely academic. For legal advice, please seek an attorney. Thanks to the workshop for technical assistance. Special effects by Isaac Hobson. Find more information at scholarscompass.vcu.edu.